We're going to start out this morning in Romans chapter 10. We're in a season that I liked what I heard this weekend about Reformation. And we're declaring in Reformation that something brand new is going to happen upon the earth. Now, I look at Martin Luther, and he's always been a hero of mine. I didn't know him really good. I think he passed away in 1546 or something. But Martin Luther came on the scene, and he declared something that changed the whole world. And it took a short time for it to happen. It really, what he set in motion by his declaration began to set in motion the advent of something brand new in all of Christendom. And it began the Protestant Reformation. But the thing that God has been really revealing in this hour is that we're right in the middle of a new Reformation. We're right in the middle of God doing something brand new upon the earth. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Because to be right in the middle of something that's historic, I think, is all of our dream. Because we don't really, none of us here want to this just to be business as usual. But we want to see that the Lord will do something so significant in our midst that it's history changing. Hey guys, turn me down just a little bit. It's history changing, and it brings forth something that really that the world has been looking for. And you know, when we understand that what the sons of God are, we're not here just to create another church. We're not here just to create another movement. But we're here to bring forth a new age. It's called the kingdom of God manifested upon the earth. Romans 8 talks about it, and we've mentioned a lot recently about the sons of God that are birthed. And we're birthed out of that relationship that Jesus had with the Father. So he ties us into that same relationship in such a way that we too become identical with who he is. I know you might feel like you're quite a ways off from that identification at this point in your life, but really you're not. You're a lot closer than you think. And in fact, the moment you quit looking at who you are and you begin to let him declare over you who you are, you're going to make a great transition happen very quickly. And Romans chapter 10, if you have your Bible open there with me, and it talks about this, the principle of the Word. See, all of God's promises are in the Word. Not just a word that's written, but a word that's spoken. Because it's the life of the spoken word, the rhema of God, that creates in the midst of us. And we look to the Father himself and how he created the worlds. He framed them by the word that he spoke. So you take a scenario where there was all this darkness and there was no life and there was just void. In the middle of that blackness, void, God speaks, "Let there be light." What, did light take a long time? No, it came instantly with the word, because the power is in the word that's spoken. And I think we're just now waking up to the realization of just how powerful we really are as we join together with him as co-inheritors, co-laborers, co-creators. The Bible even calls us co-creators with God. That's a pretty big title to put on yourself, isn't it? To go around, how many would like to wear a t-shirt? I'm a co-creator. But really, that's who you are. God has raised you up to be a co-creator. Everything that happens on the earth must come through you. It won't come through him anymore. It comes through you. Well, it's his will. But he implements his will through you. Everybody say, "I'm the instrument of the will of God upon the earth. So when we look for the will of God to come, the will of God is being expressed through human vessels. That's why he's giving you a gift of speech to prophesy. To prophesy means more than just to exhort. A lot of exhortation in the body of Christ, isn't there? Where I could come and I say, I just want to exhort you to press into God, and I just want to encourage all of y'all to worship, and I just want to encourage you to go out and witness, and I'm just prophesying that you're going to be raised up to do this and this and this. And so it's like I'm encouraging that, and that's okay, but that's one level. But there's a higher level that God's looking for, and it's a level where we actually speak to the wind, and out of nothing something's been created. See, I don't want us to think that our future is shaped by what we've been. I don't want your future to be shaped by what's happened to you in your life or what someone's told you that you can be or can't be. You have the power to shape who you are and what you become by the word that you speak. That's how powerful the word is in you. It's like all of you are carrying around this, should be a sign on you, says warning. Explosives, danger, explosives close by, because there's a dunamis power in you. You know, Jesus had that in him. He said when he was talking to his disciples, and they brought, after he'd fed the 5,000, and they all got excited about that, and then he went on to share with them, hey, there's greater bread than this. It's coming down from heaven. It's called the bread of life, and I'm that bread of life. I'm the bread, I'm the blood. If you'll eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, then we're going to have a party. And, I mean, if you want to get whacked, you just start eating of the Lord and drinking of the Lord. He's a big whacker. I've never come into his presence without getting whacked. Some people get religious. Some people get stoic. Some people get religious spirit on them. I just get whacked. It said, suddenly on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven, and they all got whacked. And these men were not drunk as wine, as you would suppose, being the third hour of the day, but they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so in each one of you, God placed a word. You didn't get saved just because you decided to wake up one day and you say, well, I'm going to get saved. No, the word of God transformed you. The same word that created the Lord Jesus Christ and brought him forth incarnate upon the earth, that same word now has been spoken to you. It's been preached to you. You heard it, and it resulted in your salvation. Romans tells us this, that salvation comes by hearing this word. That it, if you look in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How many have done that? How many believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead? How many have confessed him with your mouth? What did it result in? Your salvation. It said, for that with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. So you have this dual thing happening, believing and confessing. Believing, confessing. That's why God does a lot of open heart surgery and circumcision and cleaning out the artery work on your heart, because he wants your heart to be an unfiltered source of hearing the word. A lot of people hear the word through a filtered heart of bitterness, through a filtered heart of anger, through a filtered heart of rejection or jealousy or strife or lust or greed. They hear the word through this rejection that they grew up with. And so the word to them is not pure and unadulterated. They've filtered it through the lens of their own experience. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to hear the word just the way he intends to speak it to you, with purity, a pure word that will come and bring a pure result. What does a man do to be saved? Believe in his heart confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. Now, where does that word come? Faith comes by the word, doesn't it? So God creates everything that we are by the word. He not only saves us, redeems us, sustains us, but he creates us by the word that he speaks to us. He's the originator of the word of faith movement. Amen? Because what faith does is call those things as not as though they were. So when I speak a word of faith, I release something that creates something. So I'm calling something that's not there as though it were there by the word that I speak. And thus, that word has more power than the negative. It has more power than the fact that there's nothing actually there, because that word within itself has the power to create. Do you like this so far? See, the words that we're speaking don't originate here. They originate in heaven. Jesus said that, I only speak the things I hear my Father say. Where's the Father speaking from? From heaven, right? Well, maybe heaven's not some far off place, but it did say that the Lord came down, right? So he's listening into a different realm anyway. I actually believe that heaven is just a different realm of existence. And that right now we're surrounded by heaven. Right? There's angels all around us. There's clouds of witnesses here. We're surrounded by that spirit realm right now. You're not alone, by the way. There's far more for you than there are against you. Hallelujah. They're all around. The armies of God have been assembled. You're never alone. Not only do you have all of this great, massive, angelic cloud of witness people around, you've also got the Holy Spirit and the word that he's spoken. The one thing about the Lord's word, it comes on a continuous loop. And what we got to do is reach up into the loop every now and then and pull one down. Thus saith the Lord. This is a word that he spoke, is the same word that he spoke in the beginning. It's never changed. The one thing that we can rely upon and know that's a constant in our life is what God says. He never changes his mind or his intentions for humanity. He's never changed his intention to bring forth a kingdom upon the earth. He's never wavered in the fact that he has a people that will do that. That he has sons and daughters of God that have been raised up to proclaim his word upon the earth. You're the king. The Bible says we're a kingdom of kings and priests unto our God. Everybody say, I'm a priest. I'm a king. So what's the function of a priest and a king? Well, we could go into that, but we won't much this morning. Of course, we know a priest stands between heaven and earth and on behalf of the people beseeches the Lord to bring grace and mercy and favor to them. A priest has dual connection, and he connects to the people and he connects to the heavens. And he brings heaven into people's lives. He has the power to forgive sin. He has the power to speak for healing and restoration for individuals. That's a priest's responsibility. What does a king do? A king moves into the realm of dominion and authority. So you're not only a priest that has relationship to God and to man, but now you're a king that moves in great authority that can actually bring decrees about that will cause things to happen and change. Because when the king speaks it, it happens. I always like to quote Pharaoh a little bit. So let it be written. So let it be done. So let it be written. So let it be done. That's a king, isn't it? King says, I heard it. I'm speaking it. Now do it. Well, no, there's no buts, because the king doesn't give us any slack in the execution of what he wants done upon the earth. It's all authority has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. Now, all authority has the power to do anything and the authority, the rule to do anything that it chooses to do. Without anyone's opinion mattering. God just happens to do what he wants to do in spite of our opinion about it. We've been trying to legislate the Lord out of our lives for so long through our religious doctrines and teachings. You know, we want just enough of the kingship in here just to make this thing work enough so we can maintain it. But God has something far greater than maintenance in mind. He wants to create, he wants to rebuild the ancient ruins. He wants to create the cities of inhabitation. He wants to make you that one that stands and speaks the word. The word of faith, the word that's nigh you, even in your heart and in your mouth, that word of power and creation, God is releasing to the church in this hour. The new reformers. Woo! So we got to start thinking like reformers. We're not thinking like we're going to maintain a church. We're actually reforming something. We're actually creating something new. And you got to think, don't let us be locked in to our grandmother's and our grandfather's religion. As much as I love my grandmother, I don't want your religion. I want the new thing that God's doing on the earth. I thank God for the foundation you gave me. Thank God for the foundation this church has given us. But if this is all there is, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be disappointed because there's more to come. We're going to turn the chapter in the book. It's a brand new chapter. It hasn't been read yet. Maybe it hasn't been proclaimed yet. 1984, when the Lord spoke to me in Muleshoe, Texas, in my mother's bathroom and gave me a commission to, and I included Sue and the kids in that. You know, they always include them. They, you know, whether they wanted to or not, here they come, you know. We're moving to Austin. Okay. Whoa. Okay. Did you confirm that? Yes. Okay. Say hello to my little friend. I noticed, Darren, you edited that out of the message last week. And he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. Oh, I'm having fun. The Lord said to me that day in that shower in Muleshoe, Texas, of all places, go therefore, my son, unto Austin, Texas, and bind the power. Good to have Joe back, by the way. Bind the powers of darkness. It's good to have Michelle and Jackie over here too today. Bind the powers of darkness over that city. Yes. Take authority over them. Here he comes. He's on the way. So we run to Austin. We bind you, foul powers of darkness, over the city. You know, I mean, we started beseeching the heavens. And it worked. We started seeing Satan fall from heaven like lightning. See, there was a time of warfare, but we're moving more into a time of inheritance, more into a time of identity. But there's a season of warfare that took place. And sometimes there's necessary there be seasons of warfare. That's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for warfare. We're looking for inheritance. We're looking for empowerment that just comes because we know who we are. But sometimes you've got to do some warfare. And we did the warfare over the city. Not only did we come against the powers of darkness, we began to proclaim to the air what was to be. If you look back in the archives of what we did here for probably the first 15 years, there was a lot of times there was just a lot of prophecy that would come. And I would do it and others would do it. We'd begin to proclaim to the atmosphere what was to happen in this city. We begin to proclaim about the glory that was coming, about the kingdom that was coming. We've been to declare and decree everything that was to happen, about how God would raise up a mighty people, how he would raise up this incredible thing that would come forth on the earth. And we're not putting badges on us and saying, look how special we are. There's a lot of people that God commissions to do that, but we're one of those that stood as a voice crying in the wilderness. And I'm telling you, this hour God's raising up voices again. Because it's now time to complete the task that God has set before us. And look, you know, and I got so many scriptures this morning, but I probably won't get into them. But when Jesus kept listening to the Father, he kept speaking to the earth. And what the Word of God does, it's like seeds that God plants. And you're like the one that, as you speak it, you're like that farmer that's going out and sharing those seeds to the earth. See, as representatives of him, we become those ones that God speaks through. See, God doesn't speak through anyone but you. So if we're waiting on some deliverer to come along, here he comes to save the day, he won't be there. But he's going to come through people. And the word you speak matters. What's in your life you can speak to? It's like, what's in your wallet? What's in your mouth? Because what you begin to speak to in your life, and you just keep speaking to it, letting the Holy Spirit water it, you're setting a stage for harvest. And it's not some kind of hokey pokey faith thing where you're just saying, but it's something that's inspired by the Spirit. Because see, Jesus kept listening for the Father, and then when the Father would speak, he would speak it. And then there's an amen on the earth to receive it. And as to many as received it, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. The very thing that Christ spoke, Christ also imparted for you to become. He made provision for you to be just like him with the same measure of authority that he had. All authority was given unto him. Now he said, I'm giving you the same authority. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. So we have authority and rule over nations. We can speak to our city. Lord, I proclaim to Austin, Texas this morning. I speak that Austin, Texas is a city of refuge. I declare it's a city where the grace of God so abounds. Where sin abounded, but grace will much more abound in this city. I pray it's a city that you'll raise up a mighty people, that you'll raise up a people of love and a people of compassion. You'll raise up a church that has such an identity of family and unity that the world is yet to see such. I proclaim that to this city. I proclaim that nothing will prevail against this, but it shall have a free reign and a free course. And the Lord, you will usher in a kingdom in this very place. I speak that to Austin, Texas. Where it's been known as the music capital of the world, it'll become known as the worship capital of the world. Where it's known as a place where there's freedom, where people can just do anything they want to do, it'll also be known as the place of the freedom of the Lord. And the freedom of the Lord will smell good. And people say, I want that kind of freedom. See, this is what we have the power to do. We can begin to speak and sow seeds into the environment around us. And we begin to pray and let the Holy Spirit water that. Water the seed until one day there comes forth a mighty harvest. And it all happens out of just a few people that are like a handful of corn that are just spread upon the mountains. We speak to it and it happens. We've become the reformers of something brand new, refusing to let this religious thing that we've known keep us bound. Shed those clothes. Come out of the grave. Get rid of the old clothes that stink and say, Lord, I want to be that new man. Stands in your presence. Woo! See, every word has the power to transform. God comes and transforms the mind first. And he keeps bringing this continual revelation of who we are over and over again. God never gets tired of affirmation, affirms who you are over and over again. Just like in the wilderness, they kept over and over again. He kept showing them, this is who I am, the one that's delivered you. Yet they kept tempting him, it said, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Quit limiting God in your life by saying, I'm nothing special. Don't say that anymore. Don't quit saying, oh, I'm just barely hanging on. Don't say that anymore. Don't say, well, I'm just kind of on the peripheral. I don't really know how much I can contribute. Don't say that anymore. You're at the forefront of a reformation. One day the history books will be written. And they'll say, this was the time. This in the early 2000s came forth this great movement upon the earth. And out of it come forth this great reformation that changed the way we do business. For look what the Lord has brought. See, the Lord will keep recording this. He's recording it. You're part of the extension of Hebrews 11, 12. You're part of that roll call of faith, those that are bringing forth something brand new upon the earth. Shall it not spring forth to birth? It's never been seen before. That's what makes it challenging, because we haven't seen what God's yet to do. Amen. Yet we believe it. How many believe it? Amen. Say, I believe it.
I receive it.
Wow. Woo. Jeremiah was a prophet. He wasn't a bullfrog. He was a prophet. Isn't there a song called Jeremiah's a Bullfrog? Someone give me a bullfrog noise. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. Did you like that rabbit? Okay. Jeremiah was not a bullfrog. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah, and I don't have a lot of time this morning left, but I want to give you a couple of things here. Verse 5, the Lord had come to him in the word, I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Could I dare to tell you this morning that's a word for you? Let's put it in your context of you, okay? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Say, I received that. Before you were born, he sanctified you. And I've ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then said I, oh, but Lord, God, behold, I can't speak. I'm but a youth. Or someone said, I can't speak, Lord, I'm just a female. Or I'm in trouble. Lord, I can't speak. I'm just a pew warmer. Some say, I can't speak, I'm a man. I mean, there's some husbands that say that. I can't speak, I'm just a man in my home. I don't speak. The wife's the only one that talks. Uh-oh. Is that you, Eric? Now I'm getting the glory on me now. I got the boot scooting boogie. I'm pretty excited, too. Lorraine is going to give me voice lessons. Y'all are excited about that, too, aren't you? How many have ever been in a church where this preacher sang like I do? Okay. And he can't sing. Sings like I do, but he can't sing. Okay, let's read on. Behold, I can't speak, but the Lord said to me, don't say that you can't speak just because you're a youth. For you shall go to all whom I send you. Everybody say, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, wouldn't you like the Lord to touch your mouth this morning? Wow. Would you like the anointing to come on you to speak? He's going to give that to you today. Some of you today are going to rise up out of your place of being shy and reserved and content with what you have and afraid of what's happening, and you're going to rise up with a new boldness, because God's going to say, I'm going to touch your mouth and you're going to speak. And you're going to speak his word. Nothing is too great for our God. With God, nothing is impossible. You have the power of life and death. I put your words in my mouth, and see, this day I've set over you over. I'm talking to you this morning. That's right, you. I've set you over nations and over the kingdoms.
Amen. Wow. That's right.
We've been set over nations and kingdoms. They're just waiting for you to come and take authority. You have been set over nations and over kingdoms. You have been lifted up and been seated at the right hand of God, far above all principalities and powers. There's no fear of the devil here. If you're devil conscious, you haven't come into enough God consciousness yet. Just get God conscious and the devil won't make any difference. You'll just be saying, oh, that's the wicked one that touches me not. I mean, if the devil's touching you, you've got the wrong focus. No need for him to touch you. Rise up. Rise up high above him. He said, look, who's that, the one that used to try to torment me? Look at that. Look at that little thing down there. I'll just squash it. Shh, shh, shh. Okay, forget about it. There's so many people devil conscious. Oh, the devil's after me. Not the devil. God's the one you should worry about. Shouldn't go around saying, oh, I'm afraid of the devil. You better say, I'm afraid of God. I mean, because the Lord said, this day I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to put it in your mouth. I'm going to put it in your heart. I'm going to lift you up over nations and kingdoms. You're going to root out and you're going to pull down, destroy and throw out everything that stands in opposition to what I want done upon the earth. And then you're going to build up and plant. Hallelujah. Woo! It's planting time, baby. It's planting time. It's building time. It's declaring time. It's time to build something by the anointing of God, proclaiming the word of the Lord. Woo! See that word? Oh, Jesus said, you know, at the end of that, what I taught you a while ago, and he said, I got to eat of my flesh and drink of blood. And he said, and they said they begin to withdraw. Many begin to leave. And he turned to the disciples and said, hey, what are you guys going to do? He said that the words that Christ was speaking were spirit and life. Spirit and life. And they said, Lord, where else can we go? Because you have the word of life. This is our meat. This is our drink. It's what you give us. And that's what we should say in this hour. We're not going to go back into Babylon. We're not going to go back into that passive, Laodicean, unloving church that we came out of. Nothing against churches, except the lots against them. Against ours. Anything that would have this facsimile of God in it, of denying the power of it, denying the love of it, denying the intensity, the passion that God wants the church to have in this hour, for us to revert back to something that's just stained glass and ritual and tradition, God forbid that we'd do that. We've been raised up in this hour to be firebrands, prophetic firebrands for God to proclaim to nations that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's not walk back into that stuff that we came out of. Because we don't have time. Now we're moving into the kingdom. How many like moving into the kingdom? I love that house that they call the kingdom. Woo, we're moving on up to the west side. We're being brought up to the house, to the mansion. We're being brought up to the highest places. Glory to God. Yeah. And do it some more. Yeah. Woo. Just think of yourself as a launching pad. That faith that's in your heart is a launching pad. The confession of your lips directs and begins to channel, begins to bring focus and form to things you've believed for. And all of a sudden, where there's been nothing, you'll begin to see something stirring, something begin to form in your midst. And all of a sudden, you'll see it's beginning to take shape. Wow, Jeremiah 15. Oh. Woo, 15:16. Your words were found and I ate them. How about you ready to chow down? Vic, I know your barbecue is great, but there's something better, the Word of God. But we can put a little word inside that pure Angus black brisket, whatever you call it. And by the way, I vetoed the turkey. We're going to have sausage. Okay. Sorry, ladies. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me joy and rejoicing in my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. One other thing in Jeremiah 20. This is what I'm praying God gives us this morning. Verse chapter 20. Verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not hold it back. Wow. And all it said that they mocked me, and they said, had brought all these bad reports, and my acquaintances were watching, see at verse 10, if I would stumble, and they said, maybe we can induce this guy, and we're going to prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him, but the Lord is with me. Is a mighty awesome one. Hallelujah. The Lord thy God is mighty in the midst of you this morning. He's in your heart as a mighty man, ready to declare through your mouth over your world, over the world, his victory, his declaration of what he wants to bring forth. Wow. Let's all stand up. My goodness. Everybody say, I'm part of the new Reformation. I'm going to frame, by the word that I speak, the kingdom of God upon the earth. I'm going to proclaim liberty to the captives where the ruins have been. I'm going to declare restoration. Where there's been sadness, I'm going to declare joy. Where there's been wrath, I'm going to declare grace. I'm going to declare his freedom over my life, over my neighbor, over my friends, over my city, over my nation, over the nations. I am becoming an expression of God's kingdom upon the earth. His kingdom come, his will be done in my life, just as it is in heaven. Like what Bill Johnson said the other day, he said, thank God that most of Christendom has been hidden from the world, because we've been a pretty poor representation of who God really is, because we've tried to bring this religious thing and pile it on people. No wonder they've rejected in so many ways Christianity, where God now is going to raise up a pure spiritual people called the kingdom of God upon the earth. Still members of a church, but realizing the church is simply the launching pad for the birthing of something greater that God's bringing forth. Hallelujah. Woo, lift your hands up. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll put a burning word in every one of us, that we'll hear from heaven your voice, we'll believe in our hearts, and we'll confess with our mouth your word upon the earth. And that the word we speak, it will run swiftly, and it will go forth, and it will bring forth its harvest in due season. That, Lord, it will not return unto you void, but every word that's spoken will be like seed that's planted and watered by your precious Holy Spirit, and it'll bring forth great harvest in the midst of us. And we're going to begin to speak to the dry grounds. We're going to begin to speak to the dry heavens. We're going to begin to speak to the low places. We're going to begin to speak to the destitute. We're going to begin to speak to the lonely. We're going to begin to speak to the rejected ones. We're going to declare unto the earth that Jesus Christ has come to give life, and to give life more abundantly. And he's come to bring forth a kingdom upon the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whoa. Hey. Give me that mic down there. We're gonna sing in just a minute, but I'd like to bring 4 or 5 people, and now you need to be obedient to what I'm saying. Don't get up here and give your testimony. Don't get up here and tell us where you came from and how long you've been here and something else. Don't do any of that. Get up here and spend about 10 seconds, 20 seconds just proclaiming what's in your heart over this city, what's over this church. Don't give us anything else but that. How many can do that? Here goes. Donna's going to start out.
So I proclaim today that the Lord is raising up in this house, in this city, prophets that will speak in agreement with the word we heard today. And they're going to speak into the entire world, and the entire world will be touched and changed by the word that comes forth from this house and this city, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Everybody said amen. We agree with that.
Amen. We agree with that.
Hallelujah. Big bye.
I got a cue card because I just woke up. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Yes. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Make us that, Lord. Amen. Everybody say amen to that.
Lord, we as a people know who we are in this church. The foundation's been laid. Our identity has been formed. We go forth in the heavens in our glory and the praise of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we speak freedom to this world, to the Christians in third world countries that are being burned for the sake of your name. Lord, we just lift them up. We break that spirit of death over the body of Christ in this world, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So there's 165,000 people with disabilities living in the city of Austin. And the Lord says that he is waking them up. He is restoring them. He is calling them out. He's naming them to be priests and ministers. He's yes. raising up a lame remnant in this city yes. to usher in his return, to establish his government.
Yeah, and all those 165,000 you're talking about, we pray a sweeping glory upon their lives. We proclaim that, Lord, you'll raise them up in this hour. That, Lord, out of the low places, they'll become the high places. Out of the distraught and the beaten down, Lord, you'll raise up strong, mighty ones in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Vision that we would all be delivered from what is holding us back, going out and being the glorious sons and daughters that we are.
Amen. Yes. No more holding back. Everybody say, I want to lift your hand right now and say, I want to cancel debt. I want to cancel the things of poverty on your life. In the name of Jesus, I declare and I proclaim, Lord, a spirit of debt cancellation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you've started that. It's the beginning of those days right now in the name of the Lord. I pray for divine provision for the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be a fellowship of love, joy, peace, and happiness.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
You did good, brother. That's great. Hallelujah. Yes. By the way, this is a new brother in the church. His name is Jordan.
Brother.
New brother.
Jesus is saying that he's going to bring our body back together. This city has been separated by denomination and by religion, but he is saying that he's going to break down the walls of denomination and religion, and he's going to bring the body of Christ back together. Arm to torso, legs to pelvic, head to shoulders. He's rebuilding us. This body is rebuilt in the name of Jesus.
Amen. There you go. One more.
I just want to declare that we are going to be a people that say yes to the things of God, and our yes is going to be bigger than our fear, and our yes will be bigger than our disability, our yes will be bigger than our lack, but we'll say yes to the things of God. And all the other no's will go away. And that's something we learned this weekend. But I want to declare it over this house that we will say yes. And our yes is bigger than any other problem you have in your life.
Come on.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. But what we're going to sing and speak to someone this morning before you leave. We love you guys. Hey, we're so excited about Friday night. Looking forward to a great celebration of 30 years. But more importantly, what's coming? Love you.